What's up, Nico?
What's up, Connor? How
are you doing,
you?
Dude? It's good to see you again.
Dude,
man.
I'm good. Should we jump into some boys clubs?
Yeah, sick, shawty. Wait, you go first because mine's
I'm
just like
one right now.
Mine's like a complaining story. So you should. I don't like the boys. Okay,
I'm gonna go. Okay, all right. So my boys club for this week is the Apple TV show Severance.
Wait, what
I got
is
our
that?
I go to our guest on accident.
I know, usually it's me that does that.
So Severance is a new TV show directed by Ben Stiller, starring fuck,
is
why
this
am
the
I
one about workplace?
Name? Yes.
Oh.
It's so good. Why I'm calling it a boys club is like, I feel like any of these like sort of cults following TV shows, must see TV things have like a group of people who are talking about it all the time.
Sure.
And I've recently entered that boys club because not only am I watching Severance, I pretty much binged it in like 2 days.
It's over.
No, it's currently happening.
How many episodes?
There's been two, season and a half, basically.
Ben Stiller's in it?
No, he's directing it phenomenally, by the way. He's incredible. It's really good. It's just so well done. But another reason I feel like it's a, I don't know, it's so topical. And it touches on a lot of boys clubs, because it's a workplace kind of sci-fi futuristic sort of story, but it also talks a lot. There's references sort of to the Mormon church in a way. Not exactly the Mormon church, but like a la Mormon church kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. I recommend it to anybody who hasn't watched it.
And the premise is that when they're at work, they can't remember who they are at home.
Basically, so they have a procedure done where they sever themselves so that when they go downstairs to their workplace, which is called the severed floor of this company, this chip sort of turns on, which makes them be their work self, who cannot remember anything that's happened to their other self, and the other self doesn't know anything that happened at work. Obviously.
So it's like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, but not romantic. That's hard.
Well, there's romance too.
Is there?
There's gay romance.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
On Apple TV?
Yes.
Okay. I'll take your word
there
for
it. There is A-list romance
I saw
between gay men.
There's two. There are A-list gay guys in
one
this?
Of them is.
Oh, well, and the other one's a straight
he's
actor.
He's not an A-lister. They're, I don't know.
Because there aren't gay A-listers. That's true.
Gay-listers?
There aren't gay-listers. Don't you think that's kind of real? Like, who are the gay-list? Like, what?
The A-list, gay-list. Alan Cumming.
We all agree he's an A-lister.
Well, it's hard. These days, it's hard
A-lister
to know.
A-lister is like Kate Winslet. You know what I mean? Like... like Jennifer Aniston
in 2004. I mean, Jennifer Aniston still is. They both still are. Okay, the A list is expanding and conflate.
And it's also problematic.
What is
the A list?
Totally, yeah.
Because gay people have been kept off it for years. Literally, like name an out. The gay listers are probably closeted people.
What about
Tom Cruise,
Anderson Cooper?
He's a personality. I guess that is an A. Oh, you're right.
Okay. There's a couple. There's not as many as there should be.
You're right. We should have more.
Troye Sivan.
Great, we got one. Okay, like,
our producer Jackson is throwing gay listers into the chat.
Wait, so I've never watched Severance, but I watched that thing with Jake Gyllenhaal where he is...
Tick, tick, boom.
Primal.
Oh, shit, that's what's-his-face. I said tick, tick, boom. That's
what's
Andrew
that?
Garfield.
Primal Vibe. What's that show? What's the show with Jake Gyllenhaal?
New one?
Yeah, I watched 8 episodes of it because I was in Ireland and bored. I'm sorry. Shout out to Ireland, my home country. If you ever just want to watch a lot of TV.
If you can't have a Guinness, what are you going to do there?
I feel like it's like
what's
you,
a sober Irishman to do?
Well, I went to a bar with my whole family and I was like, I don't like it here. And then I walked around and then my dad came with me. My dad, he's an ally.
What an ally.
Yeah.
Presumed innocent.
What did you call it?
Primal boom, primal target. I don't know. Presumed innocent. I don't remember that.
Yeah, the P right. Okay, but just to clarify what I was saying, neither of the men, to my knowledge, one of them might be gay in real life, I don't know. Neither of these actors, to my knowledge, are gay, but one of them is an A-lister.
Okay. Wait, do you know their name?
Yes.
Are you going to share it with us?
It's Christopher Walken.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just not gay. Not gay. That's beautiful, though.
But he's an A-lister.
Yeah, he's an A-lister.
For sure,
yeah,
for
yeah,
sure,
yeah.
For sure. Anyway, that's my boys club for this week, is Severance.
My boys club is... I will tell my annoying story.
Please.
I was on a showcase for stand-up, and I caused a problem. And I'm so,
you did?
So, yeah, I go ahead and did. Don't not work with me anymore. No, no one who's in a position of power knows. It was kind of just like... And
I don't care.
Okay, so there's a lineup. The first comic, everyone's has 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. The first comic, and the boys club is fucked up people. So everyone has 5 minutes. So like, but the first comic listed, it like they had 10 minutes. So I assume that they were the host. And then I was right after them. This is not a crazy assumption. You know, when it, like, I'm a critical thinker. So yeah. I was like, I must, that's the host. So then I was like, well, I should be ready to go. So I told the, I was like, on the first comic, someone was some woman. I told a woman running the room that.
Sure, sure.
Who took everything really seriously. And she was at work, so I get it. I shouldn't be just comfort woman at her job. So, but then they got really mad and they were like, you said you're the first comic. And then this other comic said, that's not true. You're not the first comic. I'm the first comic. And I was like, why are we yelling? I was like, why Whoa. Are we yelling? I was like, you're a gay comic. I can apparently. And like, I'm also a gay comic. Why we need to stand together? Why would we be fighting? Why would I lie? Like, why would I purposefully lie?
About yeah, being, at the very least, it's maybe an accident.
Obviously. First off, I'm a moron. Second off, I'm very anxious. Like, and it's like,
third of all, I'm a gay comic.
I'm a gay comic. And it's like, babe, if you want bullet, get out there. Like, yeah. Thank you. Go explain gay to them and yeah. then I'll be up there, whatever. But it was just like, how did I cause a problem with this?
Well, it sounds like the other people caused a problem, and whoever put 10 minutes on the first comic caused a problem.
And I'll say, here's what I'll say. If I recognized that first name, if I had heard of that person ever, perhaps it wouldn't have been such an issue. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And with that.
And with that. We are crushing boys.
At the same time, if that person had heard of me, you also would have been like...
And if anybody had heard of anybody there, we wouldn't have had the showcase in the first place.
And scene.
All right. Should we just get into this episode?
Yes.
Boys, we have an amazing guest this week. You've probably recognized him from his hit program all over the internet and everywhere called Recess Therapy. He was one of the first comics I met in the city. We were just talking about this offline back at this kind of random rooftop that used to exist. We're so lucky he's here. Boys, please welcome to your ears, Julian Shapiro Barno.
What's up, boys? Welcome. How are we doing?
Thanks for being here.
Oh, my God. That was hard to not talk during. I had many thoughts.
You had a gasp. But Severance, I imagine that made you watch.
Yes, but the kind of two thoughts I had. One, your A-list celebrities, you said this comment too, but so like 90s, early 2000s.
I feel like an A-lister is not a personality. Like an A-lister is someone who's kind of like quiet and British and they're a serious actor.
Can I talk about gossip?
Please.
Yeah.
So you said Jennifer Aniston, yeah?
Yeah.
That's allegedly who... Obama had the affair with.
Yeah.
Whoa. About this?
I have heard that Obama had an affair.
But with Jennifer Aniston.
That's wild. I mean, I guess if you're Obama and the world's your oyster.
I know. There's probably so
Jen
few
Aniston's,
people.
I mean, a gorgeous lady. She's an A-lister, for Christ's sake.
There's so few people for each of them to really get on their level.
I know. When I heard Jennifer Aniston, I was gagged a little bit.
Yeah, that's like both, it's one of those things that's sort of shocking, but also as you think about it, it's like, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And this does bring it back into the Apple TV universe.
Yes.
And my other Apple TV thing is Christopher Walken, bi, famously bi.
No way.
Oh.
Yes,
not
Alan
that
Cumming,
famously.
Also super bi, apparently.
Really?
Yes.
I knew this. He was married to Parker Posey?
Oh.
Am I wrong?
No,
I'm wrong.
Is Jackson, because that's
who was Alan
Cumming? Alan Cumming was married to Parker Posey.
Jackson's computer is going to go up in flames.
No? Hillary Lyon? No, sure. I think he was married to someone named like Saffron or something. That's his husband.
Grant Schaefer is his husband. Somebody named Saffron.
I could be wrong. I worked for him when I was 20, but I was in the middle of a relapse.
Early non-binary representation is someone named Saffron.
Can I tell my crazy Alan Cumming story?
Please.
Yeah.
Okay. I was in high school. My dad's friend's sister was one of the cabaret girls in cabaret.
What was her name?
I don't remember. She played Texas. Texas.
That's when I was working. That's when I was there.
Okay, really? Okay, so this is like not a funny story, but it is. So my dad was like, do you want to go backstage at a Broadway play? And I was like, yes, of course.
I handled that list.
You did?
I handled the list. Was it summertime?
I know. It was wintertime.
That's amazing.
Then you didn't handle that list.
Some other little gay 20-year-old.
The guy at the door, same name as my dad.
What was his name?
Michael Williams.
Oh.
Guide to the Ram.
Okay.
So we see the show. I loved it. Oh my God. It was so good.
Which Sally Bowles did you see, Emma?
I saw Michelle.
Cool.
Yeah. She was the first one, right?
Yeah. Michelle and then Emma and then Sienna Miller. God bless. No one's seen Sienna Miller since. She's still at the theater.
She's still in the theater in the walls.
So we go. It's amazing. We go backstage. They're like, wait here for a second. There's like a room, like a small holding room, and then the stairs. So we're waiting there. We're so excited. We hear, whoa. Oh, my God. My leg.
Oh,
I've broken my
God.
Leg. And we were like, and somebody had fallen down the stairs, literally like on the other side of the wall.
Oh God,
this is not a funny story.
Sorry. I wasn't sure how to preemptively react.
And
I was
No, it's not funny. It's awful. Shit. It's like funny. Like this is strange. And she's like screaming, and Alan comes in and like is like, oh my God, what's going on to me and my dad? And we're like, we don't know, blah blah blah. And so we like are standing there with Alan coming during this like crisis moment. Like,
yeah,
the ambulance had to come.
Oh my God.
And then we gotta go backstage and like see the set.
Was it a dancer that fell?
I don't know. I don't know who it was. I didn't ask. But then years later, I brought it up to him, and he remembered it. And it
oh my God!
But like not like it wasn't like a good memory for him, nor me.
Yeah.
But that is our connection.
That's funny that he remembered all those years. The seems like a kind of I guess that's true. But he does seem like the kind of guy who probably like I don't know. I feel like he remembered. I mean, he remembered you.
Yeah, he said I look really good, which is the most important thing.
I hope I don't sound insensitive from that.
No, not at all. We don't know who that person was. No. And you don't
either. They could have been joking.
What I'm hoping is that someone will reach out and be like, that was me.
That was me.
That girl from the walls.
I hope you're all right.
Yes, we hope she is. Yeah.
It was a woman?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, for 100%. No.
Wait, I wanted to get back to Severance for a second because you watch.
It.
Okay,
I love it.
Are you caught up?
I watched it all in like 2 days,
dude. Literally, me too. Me too.
You guys keep saying all in a way that's like, okay, so it's
done
or not?
There's nine, and then it's ongoing weekly releases.
Yeah, but all that's been out.
Okay,
which is like 13 episodes at this point.
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna get into this.
You got it.
You could
it's
watch
so
it. You could
good.
Start it tonight and be up. New episode tonight.
Yes. Well,
you don't
actually,
know about my.
Here's
attention
the thing. Span. Here's the thing. You watch a lot of TV.
I know, but it's usually like, ha-ha.
You watch 8 episodes of
in Ireland.
Scream.
If you go to Ireland, if you ever want to get something done, go to Ireland. It's very like, there's nothing to do except for like catch up on your to-do list. It's amazing.
The Irish listeners are going to come for us. Okay, so.
Sorry.
No, I was going to say about Severance. I've been so into it that I watched it all in like. So quickly, and then my girlfriend Maddie hadn't seen it, and so I was like, "I'll rewatch it with you." And so I'm literally like right back into it again. I love it that much. I'm so obsessed.
Is there a woman in it?
Yeah,
you got to have a woman in these
and
shows.
Her name
yeah, of course,
is Britt Lauer.
Yes, and she's the actress. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
she's
the
amazing,
actress,
and she's a comedy improviser,
and she's a super important part of the show.
Yeah. Oh my God! Well, I'm glad there's one woman in it.
There's a couple.
Also, Patricia Arquette's in it.
She's amazing,
and she plays what I would consider one of the most psychotic characters we've ever seen.
And
on
we
television.
Have no idea what's going on with her yet.
Literally,
we're in season
it's like,
two. We don't know why.
We
she's
don't know
doing
what
anything.
We like. There is no rhyme or reason to any of her actions in a way that is like, and she's doing it so perfectly. Like every. Like choice she makes as an actor confuses you more, but in a way that really aids the character. It's so good.
You'd love
it's so good.
It.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw. Is she
sorry,
the one from Medium? She's on Medium. Oh no, that's okay.
Patricia Arquette. I don't know.
My socks don't match. Does
anyone? Oh my gosh, that's her. That's,
oh, they did a pop.
That's when they did the pop up. Yeah.
You know what? I'm not a boy. This is not my boys' club.
Okay.
Thing, but I'm not in the boys' club of attending pop up events.
Me neither.
I don't want to.
I've been to one pop up, and then I was screwed by it. Which
was it?
It was the Harry Styles Pleasing. That's his company.
Oh,
their winter pop up. Yeah.
I also went to that.
Okay, so I will say one thing. I will
maybe the only one I've been.
Wait,
to.
I tried to go and it had disappeared.
Well, this
in the
is
dark
why
of night.
Exactly. That's why it's a
and
problem.
It's like update your Google.
That's why it's a problem. Because the reason I went was because his most of the stuff in there is kind of mid to me.
Yeah.
But the colognes are really nice. So
yeah.
I bought one of the colognes and then I was taking you back
I
to go
too.
Get one. Yeah. And you ended up getting one.
No, you took a different man.
Didn't
Sam?
I tell you to go? Whatever. Anyway, we were supposed to
go
back.
Alone.
We were supposed to go back, and then or maybe me and Sam showed up one time.
There's something weird
and
about
it was so closed, and I was like,
"How long was it there? Because how did I go?
It was like a winter pop up. I don't
back,
know. And
though.
Then, but now it's back. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
My friend Amani, we were like, "What if we went shopping on Black Friday? This is like whatever. That was like 2 years ago or something." Or like two. Anyway, we were like, what if we go shopping on Black Friday? The only store we went into was that.
What did you buy?
Nothing.
Do you wear cologne?
I wear a nice, I would call it a perfume.
Nice.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I like the, I liked
feels
his.
Like, who are we kidding? It's like, it is perfume.
I just got this thing from the internet. This is from an Instagram ad. I'll never buy a house. And it's supposed to make your cologne perfume last longer. No, it doesn't smell like anything.
It's like a top coat for what you call it
for
nail polish.
On you.
It'll make fragrance last longer on you.
Huh? That could be useful.
Optimal habitat.
That's okay. What I'm going for. Optimal Does it work? Habitat. I don't know. I don't know. It's too early to
we'll
tell.
We'll find out. Too early to say. Okay, great.
Okay, so anyway, what's the voice club that you're not a part of? Sorry, that's so abrupt. I'm so sorry.
There was no editing between.
Good lord. Okay, let's try that again. Should we move on to a question?
What's a voice? What would you say is a voice club that you're
not? Here's what I'll say. I feel like my answers to the boys club questions get more interesting over time. So this is like kind of
wait.
The,
that was
like
such a front porch. You don't have to do that. As a gay guy, we can't be front porching. I don't.
What's
I,
front porching?
That's
front
where
porching
like,
is getting out ahead of what you're about to say.
That was actually the opposite of what you did, though, because you actually built expectations for the long term. That
yeah,
was
I'm
beautiful.
Saying it's gonna get crazy.
Oh,
like we're
okay.
gonna be screaming.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
That actually wasn't a front porch. I guess a front porch is where like this next thing I'm saying is gonna be like really obviously stupid.
Oh no, I don't.
Oh yeah. Okay.
We can't be doing that. Yeah.
Oh my God, I think I was talking to myself then.
No,
I
that's
that.
You should remind yourself not to do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
It's a good. It's a. Yeah.
And so, I'm happy that I said it out loud.
The next thing I'm gonna say. The next couple things I'm going to say are going to be increasingly interesting.
Okay,
I'll
okay,
frame
good.
It like that.
Okay.
Right, the boys club that I'm not a part of, and this is very genuine, is I really don't understand the after-afters. The, like, after-after party.
Yeah.
Like a third location, some would say.
I've never been. I don't know what happens at them. I can't imagine anything good or interesting.
Yeah.
And I, like, actually feel a little bit judgmental of people who... Or like, let's keep it going.
I like
sure.
it. Okay, yeah.
I do understand, but as someone with major FOMO, like, I, if given the opportunity, I will be there until the last person leaves.
But I don't want, I don't want to, the person I am at that hour is not someone who can even socialize.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever been to, like, anytime I've been to the a later thing, it feels like, well, now it's just us back at the house.
Right?
It's,
but
like, unless
my
it's
head,
my
it
house.
Could be interesting.
Yeah.
It could be interesting. I just don't have it in
I don't
me.
Think I do the right kind of drugs to get to the after. Like, because I'm definitely more of somebody who's going to smoke weed at some point in the night. So by
yeah,
that point, I'm slowing way down.
Yeah.
I'm not ramping up. But I don't know that I've ever been to like a real like certified like, oh, this actually feels like there's another part like anytime
it's worth being
yeah
there.
Yeah anytime I've made it that far it's been like it's time to call the car, how did I end up here?
That's so funny. I've had kind of an interesting so I started interviewing children to mm-hmm. tie this into this years ago, and I would do it every single Friday, Saturday, Sunday without fail, rain or shine, not really rain, but like we'd be out there, and I like realized very early on that if I was like hungover or tired, it would be awful.
Yeah.
So for like 3 years, I like never stayed up that late, like on weekends.
Wow.
And then I know. And then like a year ago, I stopped doing that on the weekends. I was like, I can't live like this.
Yeah.
And so I'm now experiencing as an adult being out late.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Feels bizarre, but I don't, I've not ventured into the late parts of the night.
Well, yeah. I think there's something beautiful about, like, we've talked about this before, like 4 a.m. on a Saturday night in New York
yes.
City, and you have nowhere to be on Sunday.
Yeah.
And like the only thing there is the here and the now. That's the plot of Rent. It's like literally it's just right here.
I want to be home. I want to be asleep by 5 is my rule.
Oh.
Is that crazy?
No,
no,
not at all.
I would I like think... to be asleep by 11:30.
No,
like...
no. Yes, but my absolute limit.
Yeah.
I will not...
I think there's a part of me that romanticizes like a night out where I stay up to see the sunrise or something, but
have
the reality
it?
Of that, I mean like a handful of times in my life I've probably done that, but the reality is always that I feel like ass
yeah.
afterwards, and it ruins the next 3 days,
truly,
and only increasingly
yeah.
as I get older. Like yeah. my ability to do that is less and less.
Wait, there's something so crazy about that, because it's like people from my past, they stay up until the sunrise because they have children. And it's like, we could stay up until the sunrise because we are
our stand-up comedians
out and about and up and down.
Well, that's the other thing that I feel like so at odds with my own profession a lot uh-huh. because if it, I had it my way, shows would start at 5 and they'd be done by 7:30 and I would be going
late.
Home. And yeah, there's shows like when I was in Montreal for Just for Last Festival, and there were shows that started at midnight every night. And I was like, it was like some of the first times I was doing spots at like 1:30, and I was
this
is fucked up. I should be asleep.
In college, there was a 24-hour improv festival, and we had like a 3 a.m. slot once, and it was the least funny that any of us had ever been. There was no one in the audience.
Really? Yeah. So do you think improv gets... Because I would think I would feel more, and I'm not an improviser, but
true.
I feel like I would feel more open to, I don't know, whatever silliness was coming my way, I guess, at that hour.
My whole read on like comedy shows is like the last two comics have it bad because people are tired of laughing.
It certainly can. Like, I mean, we've tried to, like, I feel like over the years we've actually shortened our lineups because it's like we don't want to get into a hostage situation with the audience. You don't want them to feel like they have to be there any longer. And I've been on some shows where it's like, why did you book 20 people?
Have you seen Stamptown?
Yes.
It's like a 3+ hour show.
Oh, yeah.
Is it
somehow it works? No. It like does somehow work to be that long, but there is a, there's, I've seen it multiple times and I love that show, but there's a moment where I'm like, do I have it in me to keep laughing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I've been like, my chest has been convulsing for hours.
Totally.
Now. I'd rather just have a slight smile on my face and just enjoy what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
You know,
I think a lot of people just misunderstand that the, there is a big difference between like a 30-minute window of three comics doing 10 minutes or 10 comics doing 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a way more grueling half hour, even though it's the same amount of time. Like, people's perception of time in a comedy show is warped anyway, so you really need to do your best to, like, make it feel like it was 50 minutes or something, you know?
I've gotten more comfortable as I've gotten older if I find a joke in poor taste, not laughing at it.
Yeah.
Like, what's an example? Like, what's a
say honestly, something offensive.
I'm not gonna say it. Okay,
Doechii at the Grammys found a joke in poor taste from Trevor Noah, and she rolled her eyes.
She did.
Yeah, and she was right. It was a stupid joke. No offense to the people that wrote for him, but they did kind of bad. Sorry, we can keep that right.
I don't know.
Nikki Glaser, your team did amazing.
Yeah, but like, you're perfect. An example. The only thing that comes to mind. But I was young and I smiled through it because I was uncomfortable. Was this guy at like some bar in Manhattan? I think Manhattan always scares me when I see a show there. I feel like I don't know what they're gonna say.
Yeah.
This guy was like, "So I got Me Too'd at work," and then told a story where he like harassed somebody.
Oh my god!
And the audience was like dying.
Oh my god!
And I was just like, so lost as a person
on this audition showcase. Mm-hmm. That one of the men auditioning has 2.8 million followers, and it's like, Netflix, why do you need Netflix to introduce you? You're introduced, like, you're good.
Yeah.
And then also, but then he had a racist joke. Ooh. He ended with a really racist joke that like really upset, should have everyone, but it really upset, rightfully so, like a man in the front row got upset, and it was like, this is so chaotic.
Yeah,
what is this? And then it was like kind of fine, like, no, like Netflix doesn't care, no one cares. And then it's just like, it's crazy.
I'm really tired of like the offensive dude humor.
Yeah.
I just don't enjoy it, but people love it still. It's crazy.
It's interesting to me because I wonder how much is like, you know, obviously there's people out there who do resonate with it at some level. I mean, that kind of rhetoric is clear. You know, we're in a presidential landscape because of it.
Yeah.
But there, I also wonder how many people are just, you know, like you were saying, somebody who's young or just like uncomfortable, and like laughter is a discomfort, you know, response as well. So I think a lot of people do kind of like laugh through it, but it is always really difficult. And especially like this person you were mentioning in the front row, like I've been in a situation, of course, where there's people making fucked up jokes about trans people and have to be in the room for that. And then listening to people laugh, it is like one of the most minimizing feelings, you know, like, I don't know. It just, it sucks. And I hate that many people have 2.8 million followers for like saying this bullshit. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was really crazy.
I also don't understand, maybe last thing I'll say on the like comedy things I don't understand front, but like late night shows or like daily shows that feel like they have to joke about the news.
Yeah.
I like remember, I don't remember which school shooting it was, but one of them.
Yeah, God.
And I literally was like, it was like, I think it might have been, whatever, we don't need to name them, but like Fallon did a whole bit about it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you can't like just not like address it in this, like doesn't need to be joked about at all.
Yeah. Presumably. Yeah. It's a weird thing with the late night stuff. I do not envy those jobs at all because it's so grueling, but also because like, I'm just not somebody who, I don't know. There's definitely days where I would come into work and be like, I can't joke about any of this.
Right?
Like, especially these days, there's just too much that's happening that feels like, I'm always impressed when they find a way in. I feel like Jon Stewart still has like a bit of a knack for it, but that's like, you know, 30 years in the making of being able to deal with all kinds of shit. But yeah, no, I don't know. I definitely don't have it in me to be doing like the topical joke, especially if it's not something that like affects me. Like, I feel like there's the other thing too. It's like, oh God, like, Like, I don't want to come off as making light of this when it's, like, not a light subject for a lot of people, you know?
I feel like we're similar in general in that, no, you're kind of like this. And that, like, when I'm looking for a new joke, I don't think about what's happening now. I'm like, what was happening in first grade? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, take us back to 2002. Like, what was going on? Like, that's the well. Like, that's where the humor is.
Well, that's what always weirds me out about these guys who just have, like, they're like, oh, we can't talk about anything anymore. And that's obviously not true. They're talking about whatever they want to do. But to that point, it's like, we all have a full life that we've lived. Like, go into that.
I love, when you said that, it did feel like an affirmation. It's like, I have had a full life.
I've had a full life. You know what I mean, though? It's like, talk about yourself.
But there are all these, like, tweets or whatever it is that are like, these men that feel sad, that, like, they're like, oh, so we said the R word, the F slur, and XYZ, or someone said that.
Yeah.
And, like, that to them is like, whether it's, it might have been about someone's host set on, like, whatever. Like, and it, that to them is funny and also empowering that they can say the words. Not even that they can be funny with the words, but just to say the words.
I
which
know,
is so
and
interesting.
I'm so confused about why that even deal. I don't know why people feel empowered to say mean things.
I know,
or why that feels empowering in the least. But
have you seen the babies in the bathroom with a phone being told they're allowed to curse?
Oh, yeah.
They should do that.
Yeah, they should.
Go
they
in
should.
The bathroom, say all their
say their words into their pillows and move on. Literally.
Leave it.
Literally. Wait, I wanted to ask you one last thing about staying up late. One last thing about staying up late. Do you have, like, if you have to stay up late, do you have, like, a cocktail? You mentioned offline that you drank something recently that was keeping you buzzing a little bit.
Oh, a Celsius.
Yeah.
No.
But that's not, you're not doing the vodka Celsius.
I feel like I don't drink often. When I do, I don't want any caffeine in it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be, I feel like I have to run on my own energy.
Sure, yeah.
I feel like it has to be authentic.
What's a Red Bull and vodka? Is it called a Red Bull vodka? Red Bull.
I think so. Yeah. A vodka Red Bull,
Is a Jaeger bomb have caffeine in it? You didn't do Jaeger bombs, dude?
Dude, I don't know. We'll send a Jaeger bomb.
I'm sober. So me at the afters is actually the same as me at the befores. That's what's so weird about after. So you said you're like, I'm a different person at that hour. I was like, I'm the same. I'm the same when I'm taking notes.
Well, I just get sleepy. Well, you just made me think of you being at a party, like asking questions about the alcohols. And stuff. Reminds me, I had a brief moment where I was in a really bro-y friend group. And it was when I was abroad. And it was like the only people I knew from school was like, where was I abroad?
Yeah.
As in Madrid.
Go ahead.
That was sick.
And I was with these like dudes and they were like, yo, Julian, we're going to Amsterdam this weekend. Do you want to come with?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, sure. And I hated it. I was very uncomfortable. And they were like, we should go in the red light district. And they're like walking around.
Is that gay?
The red light district is where they have like the women behind
in the windows. Yeah.
You don't have to turn on your red light, Roxanne.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
And every city has something adjacent to this?
No. I think it's an Amsterdam thing.
It's like legal.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And it's like, and so we're walking and I'm like, wow. So like, how does the government like regulate like blah blah? Like I was nervous and maybe it didn't feel empowering in the way I maybe thought it would.
Yeah,
and it was strange. And this guy, his name will remain anonymous, grabbed me and goes, "Hey, Julian, can I just talk to you for a minute?" He pulled me down. He goes,
"I hate this story.
You're ruining this for everybody
right
now." Wait, I have to tell a story. I'm sorry. I have to tell a story. When I was a sophomore in college, I was sober, but I was a part of a fraternity. Mm-hmm. And to your point, I did catfish them because I was not sober when I got the bid. And, and then it's like, we didn't realize you were in a 12-step program. This is not what we signed up for. You can be gay, don't be in a program. But then we were at this party and the Challenger Apartments. And I'll say his name, Zach Chalag, who's an amazing man. Are you mad? Sorry. And I love him. But it's not his fault because this was a couple years ago. He was DJing and I was like, can you play Miley Cyrus's We Can't Stop? And then, Party in the USA. Sorry. And then he did that thing that you just described that was very upsetting where he like pulls you aside and is like, Hey, Connor, I'll listen to that song with you all you want later, but right now, that's not what these girls need to hear. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's right. And it was
who are these girls?
I don't know, but I was so upset. I went home
and
why don't they need to hear
it?
It was so crazy.
They don't need to be empowered to be in the United States.
Yeah. It was so, it was this reminder that it was like, oh, I'm different.
Aww. Yeah.
And no, it's so, that was a really upsetting story. When he pulls you aside, I think he should be in prison.
I felt really bad, and I was like, I am ruining this. This is like their culture. Like, they want to ogle.
Did you feel like an outsider?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that.
There's a boys club you're not a part of. Yeah, that's like, oh, God. Also, like, for anybody to, like, I don't know. maybe certain dudes just like turn this off or like are able to like pretend like it's not affecting them, but like I'm sure to see sex work like live for the first time in any way. It's intense. Yeah. 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 So it's like a, I don't know. I'm sorry that that happened, but you know.
Where is he now?
I don't know.
Murray Hill. Get out
He's
Google.
An Apo baby.
Get out Google. I want to know, first off, I hate him. Second off.
And his name. No,
what would you say ultimately is, where'd you go to college?
Really, Boston University.
Okay. Anyway, so what would you say also is a voice club that you are, a part of?
The boys club, the puppetry boys club.
You do puppets? Okay.
Well, I grew up with it. And now it's like whenever there's somebody who's like tangentially affiliated with the Muppets or like Creatures or something, yeah, I can just talk that language. Like it is, there's such a specific type of person.
Okay.
And it's the whimsical critter club. It's like, it's like the boys who can engage with like explaining what kind of like fur they use for Fozzie.
Oh wow.
Or like how to do like an invisible Muppet stitch. This is a secret world that I'm a part
Okay,
of.
Wait, I need some context. So did you grow up like performing with puppets or making your own? Like how did you get into this?
When I was in like the seventh grade, I watched Being Elmo documentary.
Okay. Which one is that? Oh, the documentary.
The documentary.
I was like, which Elmo movie is this? But it's not.
No, it's a documentary about Kevin Clash who created Elmo the character. And it like, I don't know what was going on in my life. It was the only thing I wanted to do. I bought a sewing machine, turned my basement, which was filled with crickets, into like a little puppet studio and would just like be sewing, making puppets.
Is this in Philadelphia?
Yes, this is at this point in Philadelphia.
And you had just moved there?
Like a year ago, yeah.
That's what was going on.
I think
just
I
moved to a new place.
To make my own friends.
Yeah. It's giving Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Okay, so then you were making your puppets.
So making puppets and like was good at it and was like finding professional success.
Wow.
I like sold a puppet to an IFC show in like middle school.
Oh my God.
Which like they were like looking for like, I don't know, very, that's a whole other story. But I was like having fun with it, but I was so lonely. So I completely abandoned it and I lived with this guilt for a while and then I found like theater and stuff. But I've come back to it as an adult.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of my puppetry.
I was going to say, I feel like it probably really fits into what you're already doing with the recess therapy. Like have
children's
you,
programming.
Yeah. Have you been able to like bring that into your any of your videos? Like have you ever thought about doing it with a puppet or something?
No. I feel like there. I don't feel like it would work. I feel like it would be hard. I feel like there's like a lot of like baggage that puppetry carries with it.
Sure, yeah.
And I feel like me with like a puppet with like kids.
yeah.
I feel
like
that's not an image I need.
Fair.
I've done it at like comedy shows and like helped with people's like short films with puppetry. And I have had the honor of going to Sesame Street and like working with the Muppets at this point.
Oh my God.
And
that's so cool.
Been very fulfilling to me.
Yeah.
Wait, the Muppets and Sesame Street are connected?
No. Well, same guy, but they're separate entities.
Okay.
Sesame
when I was growing up,
PBS, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yes. When I was growing up, my favorite movie was Elmo Saves Christmas.
Such a good movie.
That's a great
movie. Oh my God, I think of it all the time because it's a reminder
beautiful.
That it's really capitalist, actually. Because like, know how they all lose their jobs because like no one works on Christmas, which is also classist to say. But like, they do all lose their jobs. It's like, and then the message is that if things are always good, if every day's Christmas, no day's Christmas.
I know.
And no one will have a job.
I think about that every day.
And Maya Angelou's in it.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it recently.
Yes. Maya Angelou, she's in it. Yeah. And Harvey Fire. No. Which one's not bad? Harvey Firestein. He plays the Easter Bunny.
Yes.
Easter eggs. I can do that right.
When did you last watch those?
Like, I just watched it when I was a kid. There are certain movies that I watched so many times. Yeah. They're like Wizard of Oz, that one, Beauty and the Beast, that I can like viscerally.
Yeah.
There's one movie about Camelot that was like some animated shit. Mm. I don't know.
Mm.
And I was like that. I feel like I like, to watch them, I would be like, oh, I like viscerally remember. I saw this so many times.
Do you know Dark Crystal?
Mm-hmm. No, what's that?
Labyrinth?
No.
Oh. Is that a movie? Y'all have two movies to watch.
Okay.
Jim Henson made two movies for adults.
Oh, no way.
Dark Crystal,
are they puppeted?
Oh, yeah. And they're insane.
I imagine so.
So they take place on Thraw, and there's two Gelflings who have to bring the crystal shard to the Dark Crystal.
Oh, we're seeing some.
We're seeing some images.
We have a producer. We have a gay producer,
and he's moving us through some photos. Okay, yeah, these are very like very scary looking puppets.
And then, can you look up Bowie Labyrinth Bulge?
It's about to get real.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
David Jackson already knows.
David Bowie stars in Labyrinth and his penis.
Wow. Okay.
Really?
Thank you for... Thank
wow.
You,
yeah. Okay, so Jackson also informed us Max and HBO now own Sesame Street. So do with that what you will, listener.
All right, look at this.
Let's see this.
It's something to, something to write home about.
Oh, my Christ. That,
do you have Zoom?
I mean, that bulge is its own puppet,
Zoom
I think. That's a third character. Wait, and also, the puppet is at bulge height, so
yeah.
There's that.
Wow.
Boys, wait, we'll put a photo of this in, we'll put a photo of this in the great episode.
So Labyrinth is the second one that he made, and it's like, it's about this girl, Jennifer Connelly, who, yes, as a child, her brother gets stolen by the Goblin King, who's Bowie with just the biggest bulge in these tights.
Wow.
And then she has to like go on this whimsical adventure to get her brother back. But then she and this adult man have this like complicated romance. She's like 15 in the movie.
Strange.
And then.
And it's Bowie?
And it's Bowie, which that's Bowie.
Fascinating.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a good movie.
Okay, Jim Henson, getting into the adult puppet space.
It's giving Halloween Town. Do you know Halloween
yes,
Town?
Yeah.
That's what that looks like, is Halloween Town.
Whose mom?
Debbie Reynolds.
Sure.
She's in that.
Somebody, I...
Debbie Reynolds, Carrie Fisher, Billy Lord.
Oh, wow.
That's your ranking?
Wait.
I know.
Lineage.
Who's Billy Lord? Don't, I'll Google it. I'm going to Google it.
Last thing I'll say.
No, please.
And then I'm walking off. Labyrinth 2 just got announced.
Wow!
If I'm not in it,
yeah.
There's a big email on my computer to self that says, "Be in Labyrinth 2."
Okay, fuck yeah! If you're listening, Jim Henson, let's get on this. Is he? He's
no,
the
yeah.
well dead.
No, no, no.
All right.
Yeah.
If anybody else is listening from the estate of Jim Henson, wait, I have a question about puppets because one of my first like I don't know, obviously like Sesame Street and all that, but one of the things that first made me laugh as like quite a little bit older of a kid mm-hmm. was the Harry Potter Puppet Pals. Did that?
Potter
have an impact
great.
On you?
Love, not different.
Different, for sure.
But
yeah.
great. Are
yeah.
either of you in the puppetry club?
No, but I did
Do
open.
You wanna be?
I opened for Randy Feltface on mm-hmm. tour, and that was really cool. What I was most impressed with by him, this guy Heath, who's well, actually, maybe I shouldn't have said that what his real name is, but anyway, Randy Feltface, the guy who puppets him in the back, you know, the comedian. He is like in a barefoot in a crouch position the
wow.
entire time for an hour and 15-minute show, and he's like moving around behind his little thing in, fully like in a crouch the whole time. I was like, dude, what is the hip routine? Like, how are you this flexible? Like,
oh my God.
It's really, really. Really impressive.
The perfect puppeteer would have three arms, is what they
is
always
a,
say.
I love that. Yeah.
One here, and then one here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
And
then
they
you
always
could do
say this.
Multiple, like three puppets with that.
No, one.
One
the
puppet.
Head, the mouth, and then both arms.
Ah, for sure, for sure. Because usually they have like the sticks or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. One of my favorite sketches. What was this on? It might have been SNL actually did this sketch.
With Bill Hader?
Was it Bill Hader? It was with was it Bill Hader and it was Keenan Michael Key, and he's yelling at the I think it's a SNL when he's yelling at the two Muppet guys who and he's like,
oh,
hey,
that little dragon.
This is yeah. a family show or whatever. He's like, you let this thing do its thing. I forget what it is.
I
thought
it was the SNL sketch where it's like a like support group or like a therapy.
Yes, where he's the security
yeah,
who's
that.
Like, we're gonna have a problem, and he has like a lisp. It's so funny. Yeah,
their SNL history. Is tied to the Muppets. Season one, Jim Henson
right.
was a core member of the team.
Yeah, yeah. No, they have like yeah. a long... I mean, Sesame Street was at one point probably taped in 30 Rock, maybe? Maybe
not.
I don't know.
Jackson
says absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah, those are the... What were they called? The Grogs or something? Yeah, season one. If you saw the Gorge?
Land of Gorge.
Yeah, the Muppets were like core element of season one of SNL and then were completely scrapped.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Ripped the puppets. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Have you seen a Muppets yeah. Christmas Carol?
Of course.
That was one of my favorite movies.
Look, I've seen it all. I used to feel so guilty for knowing all this, and now I feel so proud.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to. Yeah. I'm
it's
here.
Amazing to be able to find something that, like, as a kid felt shameful because you're, like, a teenager and you
yeah.
don't know that you're allowed to like things. And then to find that as an adult and, like, find ways back into it is, like, really meaningful.
It's
and cool.
exciting.
Yeah.
It's cool. Do you guys have anything that's, like...
I'm trying to think of, like, what... I feel like, I mean, I don't know. I think I was really, as a kid, I was, like, kind of shy about, like, wanting to be creative in any way. And so I feel like, in general, just, like, being more out loud about creativity is something that I've like reclaimed in a way. Because I played a lot of sports, and so I think I like was like, oh, people will think it's weird if I like want to be in the play or something. I don't know. I was always like second guessing that. But obviously,
that's, so, like,
that's opposite
behavior
of what I should have been doing because this is my profession now. But what about you?
Yes, I had the Gilmore Girls box set, and I would be so embarrassed of it. And when people would come over, I would put it away. And
really?
It's like, sorry, you like good television. Like, sorry, I'm. That's how humiliating. Like, that's crazy. Where are all those people now? I don't know, but I'm
watching Gilmore Girls. Maybe
I know.
Super
rewatch. I was so embarrassed by that. I remember in 2003, I saw What a Girl Wants. Okay, I was in like San Francisco with my family, and my dad took my older brother to see the Giants, which is a baseball team, and then my mom took me and my younger brother to see What a Girl Wants. And then I told someone this, and they were like, "It's called What a Girl Wants," and that really like rattled with me. And then when I had,
what were you saying?
What a girl wants, and they were like, "It's not for you; it's for what a girl wants." And then, but I always like, I always liked girly things, so I feel like I like loved like Gilmore Girls and like.
So
Disney
for you
movies.
Being gay is what you came back to.
Yeah, the answer is being gay.
I had a doll as a child that I'd bring to school, and I felt really guilty about.
Wait,
that.
What? How old were you?
Young, like six.
What was the doll?
His name was Thomas.
Oh, it was a boy doll.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute.
I had the girls. I had girl dolls.
Sorry, I'm not really like that. I want to take care of other men.
Yeah. I always, this is a funny, like, I guess like a gender thing early for me was because we would get the, do you guys remember like American Girl dolls had like then Bitty Babies,
yes.
Which were the baby dolls?
I remember.
Are you familiar with this?
No.
Basically, it's just.
I never did American Girl doll. I did Barbie. I was a little slut.
See, my mom never let us get Bratz, you know, because they
Bratz
were like,
is the
sexy
one.
Ones,
yeah,
I guess. Whatever.
Barbie's like, I was a, my mom works.
She's
OG.
She was a
worker.
American
woman.
Girl. Barbie, Brat,
absolutely.
Polly Pocket.
Absolutely. So the top, yeah. So anyway, so my sister was really into American Girl dolls, and I wasn't really that into it, but they had the Bitty Babies, and the Bitty Babies had like a girl and a boy twin, and I was like, I have to get the boy twin one. But I was very like self-conscious about that, because I like didn't want to say I had wanted a doll, but also didn't want to say I wanted the boy doll, so I was like very, that was like my version of that.
There's nothing cool about being an adult anymore. It's like, I got a Ninja Creamy, and it's like, this is so cool. No, like, we used to have beautiful things. We used to want real beautiful things. Like, little friends.
A Ninja Creamy?
Yeah, like, it's just like an invention. Oh, great, you got a new invention. Like,
oh, you're
it's an ice cream
up.
Machine.
Yeah, I do. I think this
oh, no,
puppet
it's
thing is cool. Yeah, do you want ice cream?
Sure.
I'm trying to up my protein intake.
Cut to, we're
so
all holding an ice
protein
cream.
Ice cream?
Yeah, so I, like, put a lot of protein powder into it, because I'm, like, trying to, it's like a different year, new me. My introduction to puppetry was this police officer named Officer Bill Lane would come.
What?
I loved him. that's his first name. I won't say his last name. Sorry, it was Lane. But he would come and he would have a puppet and he would be like, this is my puppet Officer Gruff, or my friend Officer Gruff. It was like a dog. And he'd be like, you got to trust men in uniform, basically. It was like,
oh,
what, more or less
what
it was.
No,
yeah.
You do
and
not.
You do not. Propaganda.
It was. It was literally what. And that's the same cop that then did the DARE program, which didn't work on me. So,
do you want a little puppetry lesson?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So you were just doing this.
I'm humiliated.
Go like this. All right, for those who are just listening, you make like a, how'd you describe this? Like
a C curve.
A C curve with your hands, and then you just move your thumb.
Because you just
real
wanna,
people don't.
They don't
flap their heads. So you just use your thumb. Yeah,
this is hard.
It's really hard, but you get used to it over time.
Boys, check out the YouTube if you want to see.
Yeah,
what
check
we're
out
up
the
to.
YouTube if you want to see these crazy hands.
Hello.
Wow, we have much to learn. Should we get into our last boys club question?
What would you say ultimately is a boys club that you wish to see in the world?
Talking to animals.
Yeah.
Eliza Thornberry.
Yes. Like communicating with the creatures of the world.
Yeah.
I've wanted that for so long and I feel gatekept.
I wonder if that technology is on the horizon.
I don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
It's all intuition, and I think the only way to speak to an animal is to make prolonged eye contact completely naked with that animal.
Yeah. It is funny because, like, I look at my dogs, my parents' dogs, our family dogs, and I feel like they're hearing and understanding me. But
right?
It's hard to know.
As a child, I would go to the zoo and put my hand on the glass and be like, look at the animals. And I'd think, I am different than everyone else at the zoo. Can you tell that I see you? And that you see me.
Sometimes I'll do, it's probably an intrusive thought, but it's like, I'll be in my head being like, Connor, if you can hear me, say something out loud.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
God, like, so stressed out. My intrusive thought is like, if I don't hit the step of this perfect part, my dad will die. Like, that's so
oh my God.
Okay, wait, so to get back to the animals thing before we derail into this, So you if the technology were available to like have like a literal translator between yes. humans and animals, would you partake in that, or are you trying to have it be more like instinctual sort of communication?
If there was technology, I would use it. I think in a perfect world, I would walk through a like passageway or a gateway in the forest.
Yeah,
and have that ability.
Narnia.
Narnia. Sure. But more like a door frame with a door.
Yeah.
And
like Monsters Inc. style.
Yeah, it's Monsters Inc. style, but it's like in the middle of like a foggy wood.
Sure.
And I'm just like, what's this? And then I walk through it and it seems like nothing's changed about me. But then later, like at my house, I can like hear a voice and it's like my dog or something.
Yeah. I feel like if that technology comes about, I think it needs to be that only the animals can talk to us. Because
we
I feel like if people could talk to animals, it's going to go wrong, but like they should be able to advocate and talk to us.
They should do a program where they test it with 8 people.
Yeah, yeah. 8 really nice people.
That's the sample size.
Me,
8 people.
Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
8 gay people.
8 gay people.
What if we got...
That's an A-list gay celebrity.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, true. Pedro, yeah.
It feels like an open
Grindr
secret.
Called Pedro the ally of the year. Were they dragging his ass?
I think that they were mistaking ally for...
when
the
am
community.
I the ally?
I will say my celebrity crush right now is Lux Pascal. She is the most... beautiful woman in the entire world.
Is that his sister? Okay. I have to look her up.
She's stunning.
Wow. Lex, I mean, anybody that looks like Pedro Pascal. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Yesterday, I saw a bluebird right outside over there, and then a redbird came right up behind it.
Wow.
And which I think means something, but I don't remember what it means.
Did you name them Pedro and Lux?
Yes. Did you want to talk to them?
I don't know. Well, one I was like, well, this is probably my grandfather, or maybe it's a sign from about my dad, because like my dad loves Kacey Musgraves, and she has that song called Cardinal. But I think a cardinal. I think she has one.
I think a
cardinal
means a relative visiting you.
Okay, well, I didn't ask for that, so that's interesting. Now I'm nervous about that. Why would they do that?
No. Like an already dead person in your family coming to like it's like a nice thing. If you see a cardinal, it's like, oh, my grandfather's with us.
Okay. He never comes in my dreams.
That's because he's visiting you as a bird.
Well, what's the blue one?
I don't know.
It's just a bird.
That's just a bird, yeah.
Do you feel like I live in a treehouse, kind of?
There's a nice sense of treehouse. I like the elevation. It's nice. If you two could talk to
animals,
which would your animals be?
Well, beyond my parent or family dogs, because I would really want to know what they have to say. I think beyond that, I would be really curious to talk to apes, because they're so similar to us. I would want to know kind of like where their thought process. And also pigs are really smart, and
pigs
whales
are crazy.
Also whales, because they've been, you know, up to stuff in the ocean. I would want to know what they're up to.
Have you listened to The Good Whale?
No.
What's that?
It's an amazing podcast.
Okay.
It's like 6 episodes. It's brilliant.
And it's about the whales.
It's about Keiko the whale, who is Willy, the actor who portrayed Willy.
Okay.
Free Willy.
Okay.
Powerful story.
I believe it. Yeah. I feel like
Did they die?
Whales have been through a lot in this world.
Eventually, but the story is about the first ever reintegrating a fully born a captive whale to be a wild whale.
Whoa.
It's insane. It's a crazy story.
Oh my God. I heard this really sad story about a whale one time who couldn't register other whale sonars, so he didn't know that there were other whales around. Isn't that so heartbreaking?
Oh no, God. That's like being gay in Philadelphia.
Really?
When I grew up. I grew up before Philly was really gay. Well, actually, you grew up in Mount. That's pretty gay over there.
I have gay parents, so I was around a lot of gays.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
3 moms, 2 dads.
I love that.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait.
Sometimes 6 moms. Sometimes 4 moms. 2 moms are together, sperm donor dads. Moms broke up, met other women.
Gotcha.
All of them raised us.
Okay.
I say I was raised by 6. I just want to, you know,
yeah.
say this here now. I say I was raised by 6 parents. I have 5 now. But as a child, there were 6.
Whoa.
But my parents are like, there were 5. They're like really like, every time I say that, like I had to incorporate for like tax purposes. And I wanted to call it 6 Parent Productions. My mom made me call it 5 Parent Productions.
Wow.
Because it was hurtful to her.
It felt like it was invalidating the work that they put in.
Sure.
To give my mom's other girlfriends the name Parent.
Gotcha.
Oh,
gotcha.
My God.
Gotcha.
I'm obsessed with the parent that was, that's my, I'm like that.
You're like,
I'm the 6th parent.
I'm the 6th parent.
Wait,
anyone can be a 6th parent to me.
Okay.
Wink. No.
That's it. Okay. I'm trying to, I think that people that were raised by 2 moms are the most interesting people that we have.
And probably the best.
I know. I really do think
that. My Subway take. when I do one.
Yeah.
It's like that. And I'm like, oh, he does.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. He's a lovely guy. Yeah. I feel like anytime I meet a man that's been raised by two moms,
it's better.
It's always better. Yeah.
It's so much better. Debating whether I'm going to say this. No, I'm not going
to
say it.
Well, I listen to, shout out to our fellow podcasters. Mm-hmm. I listen to the Handsome Podcast, which is with Tig Notaro, Fortune Femster, Mae Martin. And I don't know that I want kids necessarily. Mm-hmm. Whatever. That's a future Nico discussion, but anytime I am interested by it, it's anytime Tig talks about her family, because I'm like, oh, these like two little sweet twin boys you have are clearly raised like really nicely by two very gentle moms. And I just was like, oh, there is a world where this doesn't have to be crazy. Like, I mean, obviously, like, raising a kid is always gonna be crazy, but
no, for sure.
Yeah,
I know. Do you want kids?
I don't know.
I was going to ask you about, like, in general, like, because I also work with kids, I mean, in a different capacity, because
I
coach. I
don't know if I want it.
But I, yeah, but
I'm
it's
with
this,
them all the time.
Right. I feel a similar thing where I'm like, I get paid to be around them for 2 hours a day, and that is plenty for me. I don't need to, for free, be around them 24/7.
I was doing, so with recess therapy, it was, like, one kid at a time for, like, 7 minutes. It was, like, really short. And then we started a new show called Celebrity Substitute, where we go into elementary schools with, like, Billie Eilish or somebody, and they teach for a day. And that is a challenge to have like 20 kids for a whole day.
I don't know how to do that.
No one has 20 kids.
No, but like teachers,
that would
teachers
be cool.
Yeah.
But like that's insane. I was like, oh, I got this. Like we like pitched the show around.
Yeah.
We like got it made. And then I'm like at an elementary school and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so in my out of the.
Oh, I can't even imagine. Anytime I like, because sometimes I'll like, you know, do like very short crowd work, just asking the questions on stage about like, oh, does anybody here work with kids or anything? Just to, like, get my stuff rolling before I'm talking about like my working with kids. And anytime there's a teacher, I'm like, I don't know how the fuck you do that. I'm
it's
literally
really
1 hour, and I'm like, please, I don't need to see you till tomorrow.
You're
like,
with the kids for an hour?
So I'm with a group for an hour, and then I get another group.
Okay.
Yeah, so I get like a reset, and then like thankfully the second group I have are a little bit older, and they're a little bit chiller, but I have like some 6- and 7-year-olds, and I'm just like, how does anybody do this for 8 hours? It's crazy.
My
and 20
favorite,
of them.
I was a teacher. It's true.
Speak.
My least favorite part of being a teacher is that kids just like look at you the whole time. They just like look at you and you're like,
yeah, well,
I was
you're
literally
so
thinking about this on the way here. I was thinking about you teaching high school on the way here because there was a bunch of high schoolers getting on the subway, and that always makes me nervous as fuck because they're adult sized children and they have no rhyme.
And they know the truth.
And they have no etiquette for the subway. They're just screaming, and it's like, if you're screaming on the subway, something better be damn wrong. Anyway, I was thinking about you because I was looking at these kids and I was like, God, I can't imagine being like a high school teacher right now. Then I was like, oh my God, Connor was a high school teacher.
Yes, it was really hard. People would always like look at you literally all day.
Yeah.
The best thing about the group fitness class I teach now
is so funny
like,
that's
the problem. They just
as a stand-up comedian, that's like what you do. Yeah.
Well, the class I teach now, people are like,
kids are worse though.
They're down the whole time. It's amazing.
Where it's just like, yeah. They're too focused on something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Themselves. What you should have been is a gym teacher. Just make those kids
like, guys, go run. Go have fun. Have a good time.
Two more times. When I was in high school was when they were like, bring your computer to class.
Mm-hmm.
We were all playing games.
Yeah.
None of us.
That's
were
way more effective than, I'm like barely older, but like when I was in high school, it'd be like, oh, we rented the laptops for the day. And then it'd be like the entire school, like, okay, you're the only class with laptops. And then it would be that thing where you'd have to take one laptop out of like, do you remember this?
The cart.
The cart.
Yeah, with all the chargers in
it.
Yeah, we had that in middle school. But when we were in a high school, I don't think we had like, I don't know. I don't think we had like laptops anymore. Mm-hmm. I think you could bring one if you wanted to, because I'll never forget this kid opened his laptop in a silent classroom and porn was playing.
Oh my God.
That happened.
That's me on the Martin O'Malley for President campaign. Did I not tell you this?
You did tell me
I
this.
I was working on the Martin O'Malley for President campaign. It doesn't matter.
In 2015?
Yes.
Yeah.
The summer of 2015, the summer I got 2 tattoos and relapsed after seeing the Amy Winehouse documentary.
Really?
And, yeah, I think
there's a new wrinkle to the story every time you tell it.
there's something that was like, I actually don't want to watch that. It glorified whatever that was, which actually is crazy to even think. But I opened my laptop and porn was playing so loud. But that was just such a progressive campaign. And it's
so it was cool.
Yeah.
I miss being in high school and like the littlest things would be so funny. Like we had a teacher send like an example of how to like write a bibliography. And she wrote like, you know, do at xxx.com and sent it, and it hyperlinked to a porn website.
Oh,
and
God.
We had a field day laughing about that.
Oh,
and
God.
And our teacher sent us a porn website.
Oh my god, that poor woman.
She's still there. Was this
of course? She was fine. Quaker one. Yes, this is a Quaker school.
I can't even imagine. I mean, nowadays I feel like a teacher would be like absolutely fired for that. Even if they didn't mean to.
We didn't even tell. Like, we didn't say it. Yeah. We just, like...
Different times, though. I feel like now, I don't know, I just feel like teachers are under such a microscope.
If a teacher sent porn to students, that would be bad.
Yeah.
When I was...
But even as an accident, I feel like they would not... I don't know. I feel like we just live in such a black and white world these days that, like, that would be so horrible.
People used to always be like, go to penisland.com, like, at school.
Oh, meetspin.biz.
What's that?
You gotta check it out. Meet Spin.
Yeah, I remember that one. I remember that one. Yeah, now literally, as soon as you said that, like a memory came back.
I look it up.
No, we're ruining Jackson's computer.
Have you ever been to Meet Spin Not Biz?
I think so.
The reason I thought about it.
Yeah.
It's, we'll talk about it off the pod, but it was in the movie Dee Dee. Have you seen this movie? Have you seen this movie? It's so good. It's about like a kid in like 2008.
Oh, it's like newish.
Yeah.
I wanted to see it. Yeah. I want to see that one. Meat Spin Up is what was yours? Penn Island.
Penn Island. Penis Land.
Penis Land.
Oh, boy.
No, yeah. This kid, he played porn out loud and then immediately shut his laptop. But of course, everybody, and then people were like, well, you got to open it back up to like get rid of it. And it was just like, this poor kid, how brutal. I can't even imagine. I didn't even know how to get on porn in high school. So I was like, this was so out of my realm.
When I was pretty young, I would look up like testicle or like, I was just like interested.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was. So
it's also so funny as like a kid that like your point of reference is just like, the most scientific medical name in your
life. Vulva. Yes.
Penis. No. Yeah, literally.
Intro to porn was like, here's how you give a testicular exam. That was like the OG porno.
I remember in middle school, my friend Harrison and I found like, or they like gave out this like book. They like, you know, separated the kids and like gave this book, and we like found this book about like getting your period or something, and we read it in the back of the bus, and we were like, what? We were just like, why wouldn't they tell us this? This is so interesting. We're like, why would you keep this information? Why are we being kept in the dark? This is crazy.
That's so funny. I kind of forgot where they would segment it like that.
I'll never forget this. It was like fourth or fifth grade, they split us up, boys and girls, mm-hmm. to do that. And I was like obviously having a crisis of being split mm-hmm. up with the girls. But also, on top of that, I just remember the boys coming back from theirs and being like, haha, we're going to like get hairy and come or whatever. And I was like, it's not a joke. We're going to bleed. Like, it was like, I was like, this is serious business right now. I did not have a good sense of humor about it. But I'm glad that you guys were curious.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
We had the, he always said he was the top, but I don't know what that ranking is, but the top sex educator in the country at our high school. I'll say his name. He's awesome. Al Vernacchio.
Was that the same school as before?
Yes.
You made your childhood sound so confusing, and it just sounds like not that confusing. It just sounds like you went from New York to Philly.
Yes. Well, I always say I'm from New York, then unless someone's from Philly, and then I say I also had a stint.
Yeah.
Was state, it like
I wonder
9
how you
years?
Get I wonder how you get like to be
That's like a big stint. That's like a
But when I moved to Philly, everyone was like, "Oh, it's the New York kid."
Mm-hmm.
And so I never took on the identity. And now all my friends are Philly are like, "You're like I'm saying you're from New York." But they didn't let me have the identity until recently.
Yeah, totally.
I had a shirt that said Brookladelphia on it. And I wore that shirt to class.
That's so funny.
That's beautiful. I'm like very into Philadelphia. When I'm in Philly, I'm into New York stuff to remind people that I'm different.
Yeah.
But when I'm in New York, I'm into like Philly stuff. Like, so I wear Philly stuff to the gym.
It's good to just remind people that you have more going on than what's ever
the Eagles.
Us. Yeah.
I know.
Go Birds.
But today, a man at the gym, some old man, not old in a bad way, a beautiful way, a beautiful in a powerful way. He's like, oh, you're from Philly. And then I was like, yeah. He's like, are you a fan of the Eagles? And I said, nope, but I'm a fan of my dad, and he is. He loved that. He loved that. He chuckled so loud on the calf machine. I swear to God. I was like, I'm going to kill this man.
I don't even know what that is.
So a calf machine, calf you sit there and then you do your little calf raises.
Just and keeping them good.
Yeah.
The calf is one of the largest muscles in the body. I'm trying to focus on the largest muscles to like try to like grow those. Yeah.
I went to the gym this morning for the first time ever.
Wait, what gym?
Always go at 5.
Oh my God.
I just yelled in this. Wait.
You're doing
this
that?
This is the first time you've ever been to a gym.
In the morning.
Wait. Okay.
Oh my God. Do you like it there?
I love it there.
Wait, are you unlimited?
How do you feel about
I'm packed.
How do you feel about going at 5 a.m.? I'm not
I went at 9 a.m.
Oh, okay. I thought you said 5. I was like, God damn,
no.
Dedication.
I went at 9 a.m. because because of the podcast. Usually I go at 5, but
I almost joined that gym.
You should.
But then I joined instead because I was like, I don't like to be told what to do in that capacity.
I like to be told what to do in that capacity.
Wait, yeah. Can you tell me what you did there? Did you do pull-ups and you did
this
rows?
This morning, I'll tell you my exact workout.
Wad.
It was all chest. I did
wad.
Bench pressing.
And they spotted you.
Yes.
That's nice. You don't get that at the gym.
Yeah.
And then I did rows, like pulling myself like...
Like ring rows?
Ring rows. Yeah. Thank you. And then I did... I'm really struggling to remember, but it was all. Oh, sorry. And then I did on the stationary bike 10 calories, and then so you do 10 calories, and then you do like punching up the weight above your head,
uh-huh,
5 times, and then 20 V ups 5 times.
A V up is like a suitcase. You like sit on the ground with your little body.
Like, do like this. Yeah.
Oh.
You make a V. Yeah.
My hip flexors are too
tight. The thing about CrossFit is just making you so dead tired that you forgot what you even did.
Exactly. It was like brutal. But then it made me feel not energized for the day and miserable, and I had to take a nap.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
So are you saying that there's no rest time?
No, it's really straight. It's like kind of you get raw into it.
There's no rest between there's no recovery time.
10-second rest.
You like, so I think like CrossFit, a lot of, yeah, sometimes I do the AMRAP ones where you like do whatever. AMRAP?
Because I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no, they're horrible.
I'd rather do 5 rounds than as many in 12 minutes.
Yes, I agree. Making myself have to, like, I'd rather, like, yeah, know what I have to do and just finish it than, like, push myself to do as much in the time because I'm going to make it worse on myself. Yeah.
I'd rather work hard to get through 5 or 6 or 7 rounds than be, like, conserving my energy because I, like, don't know how many I'm going to be able to do.
No, totally, because I'm also somebody who's going to come out of the gate way too hard and then be gassed by the second round. 100%. Yeah.
You should come to class.
I did CrossFit when I was a kid, actually.
I
know. My dad would take me with him to go to CrossFit, and so I was, like, the only kid there with, like, all these, like, police officers and firefighters and my dad and just, like, doing, like, the, you know, version of it for a kid. But it was, so I've done a lot of CrossFit workouts. In my day, so I've done them.
I went one time because I used to work for RX Bar. Do you know what that is?
I do.
I worked for them.
I don't like
them. Okay, well, I don't.
You went to CrossFit or to?
They're so nasty.
To what?
CrossFit.
What?
No, you went to the CrossFit Games.
CrossFit. Oh, I went to CrossFit Games and I went to a class. I've never been to CrossFit, but I honestly almost joined. Like
it's
I looked
very.
It up.
It's either like
there was a comedy show there one time.
Yes.
What?
And one time there's like a nice restaurant across the street.
People are putting comedy shows in any fucking
room. It's very, very gay and very, very straight. And as a bisexual, I feel a little bit like maybe I'm the only one there.
Yeah.
Here's what scares me about that is that, like, when we get to the bench, what I like about going to the gym by myself is that, like, I know that I'm not going to be in anyone's way unless they're in my way. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to be in anyone. Like, so one time I went to this place called Tone House. I actually went a couple times. And then they would divide us. One time I got there and they were like, okay, divide by gender. And I was like, I came here with this tall girl named Katie who lives more than I do. And she is actually straight, but I think she's kind of bi. It doesn't matter. And she's not sensitive about it, though. And then but then they divided us by gender. And I was like, no, like I came with this girl. And like, now I know that I bench way less than these men. And then I was running outside. Next thing I knew, I just ran away from the class. I just ran away. Which
no, they don't do that. Everybody does it together.
Yeah.
It's like people of all like ability, age, like body type. Like it feels very much like come one, come all, like grab a weight that works for you.
Who spotted
actually,
you?
I want to shout out the gym. Can I?
Yeah, please.
Gonna find me. I don't care.
No, yes.
Dean CrossFit. I love Dean CrossFit. You should go to Dean CrossFit.
Shout out.
Everyone who works there is so great. I appreciate you keeping my how do you say that word?
Anonymity.
Anonymity of my gym. However, I want
we're shouting out.
I hope you come find me there and I hope you work out with
especially
me.
Especially if you're a bisexual.
I hope
if
that
you're
they find you guys,
or
they,
bi,
help him
I
out.
Hope you find me
if they find you, I hope they only work out with you. You know what I'm saying? There's some scary people out there.
But thankfully, if you're at the CrossFit, you'll at least have a lot of friends who are really strong
really?
And can help you out.
There's a baseball bat that they have. No, true.
Is it an
emergency?
No. They have a baseball bat in case there's a problem.
Oh my God.
Sure.
Because the gym
that is the most CrossFit ass thing I've ever heard.
They have a sledgehammer, that's for working out.
Yeah.
They have a baseball bat, that's for hurting people and push guns to shove.
That's funny.
Ultimately, what my question is who spotted you and did you have to change the weights when you went on the bench and off the bench? And was that stressful? And how much did you bench?
I did 135 today, which is not that much, but a lot for me.
How many reps?
I did 3 rounds of 5.
That's amazing.
It was really hard. I could barely do
that. That's literally amazing. You're front porching.
Thank you.
Amazing.
And Juan spotted me. And he's great.
Shout out Juan. Did he bench the same that you did?
No, he was doing something else. We spotted each other.
What are you concerned about?
What are you worried about?
You're worried that you're going to have to get in there with somebody way stronger than you?
Story only in that, like, I was like, so, not in a negative way, but I was like, I tried to envision the class, and I was like, wait, so, like, he wasn't, like, he spotted you, but then you said there was no recovery time?
He was one of the coaches.
Well, some, and also sometimes they do.
No, I asked for help.
The way that CrossFit workouts work out, in my experience, too, is that there's a lift ahead of time that's, like, slow, and then there's, like, the WOD, which is, like, the actual, like, circuit workout that you do, and that doesn't ever lot of rest time between, but the lifting is a little bit more like controlled.
I was trying a new weight and I wasn't confident that I could do all the reps.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Yeah. I couldn't do the last one.
I always at the gym, I'll pretend that I'm like, you know, if I get off the bench and I don't bench very much, I'm not very big, but I'll just like pretend like I'm like, oh god, just nursing a shoulder injury.
You're famously very strong. I feel like
for my body, yes. But
I feel like you famously have a strong online presence.
Thank you, thank you. I mean,
you have a strong online presence, and your online presence represents your strength.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I compared to the average dude, I don't lift a lot of weight. I do for my size probably, but anytime I'm like getting off the bench and I feel like kind of self-conscious about how I'm just like, oh yeah, you know, nursing a shoulder injury, should be back to full speed in a couple years. I just like get like
I've
making
never spent this much time talking about working out. This is fun.
I want to talk about it literally every day, but I try to like keep it to myself.
One more thing I'll say: my college roommate Quentin was a professional bodybuilder.
Fuck yeah!
And he like trained, and it was really hard to be around him for that like 8 months.
I'm sure
he was like starving himself and working out all the time.
Oh my god!
And then I went to the bodybuilding competition, and he got second place and was crushed.
Oh,
devastated. Oh. Found out first place was doping. They mail him a sticker to put over the two that said one.
It's not the same as the in-person glory.
Wow.
It was literally like a little two or a little one.
You know what? I'm going to do creatine.
I love creatine.
Okay.
Every day.
I'm going to do it. Someone on Reddit said it was going to make me lose my hair. And then I was like, well, I'm not doing it. But also like, who is this person on Reddit?
And listen, everything's going to make us lose our hair.
If you're on Reddit and you're sharing medical information and it's not right, you should be bad. You should be in jail. So that person's wrong.
Oh my God. Well, Julian, thank you so much for doing this. We had so much fun hanging out with you. Before we wrap, do you want to just like let the people know where they can find you on Instagram and all that other good stuff?
My personal Instagram is JulianMSB. M as in Michael. S as in Sarah and B as in Bareilles.
What does the Michael stand for?
M is for Marcus. My name is Julian Marcus Shapiro Barnum.
What is Marcus after?
I don't know.
Oh, cool.
Not one of the six parents, and so don't ask.
And you can follow one of my shows, Recess Therapy.
Fuck yeah.
At Recess Therapy. The other one, Celebrity Substitute. And who knows when this is coming out, but the podcast that I started with a kid also is called Gems_Pod.
Nice. Awesome. So
thank you.
Check all those out. Follow Julian. His stuff is always so funny. We'll be back next week with another episode. We'll see you then. Bye.